Welcome to Bucks. Now, we're not talking about deer hunting for real, all right? We're talking about different kind of bucks. But this series we're calling Bucks, Are You Hunting for Money? All of us need bucks, got to have bucks, right? Like money kind of is a thing, and we all need it. We all need to use it. We all need it to survive. And the problem is so often it becomes one of the biggest stressors in life, and it becomes something that owns us more than God. And so we're talking about this through this whole series about bucks, about money. And I don't know if you heard the question he said is, whose land is this? That's what we're going to be answering. Who owns the forest? That's our sermon for today. I'm trying not to talk like that, all right? when you get in character, you get stuck there sometimes. Pull out your worship programs, okay? Pull out your worship programs. We do have some notes and fill in the blanks for you. Now, through this series, we are going to be talking about the heartbeat and the how-to that God gives us about money in the Bible. The heartbeat, I mean, God has a heart for how we use what he's given us, and the how-to, meaning we're going to be very practical through this series of helping you understand what to do with what you have and what you earn and the money you have and the possessions and all that kind of stuff. And I know some of you, maybe it's your first time here, and you're wondering, oh, shoot, I came in the wrong Sunday. The pastor's teaching about money. And you already have an idea of when a pastor starts talking about money that the church needs something from you, right? Like they must need a new roof, or they must need that, or you know, why is the pastor talking about money? And the reality is, here at New Hope, we don't talk about money because of what we want from you, because we don't need anything from you. God gives all that we need. We want something for you. That's when we teach on money. And so when we're talking about this stuff, you're going to be learning some things that God taught me years ago. Through his word and through scriptures on how to use it well and how to use it wisely. So don't think about, you know, the pastor up here teaching and he's trying to get something out of you, right? I did hear about this one small country church. This pastor was preaching, and at the end of the service, a small boy came up to him and said, you know, hey, pastor, I just need you to know whenever I get older, I'm going to give you some money. And the pastor's like, okay, you know, thank you, son. Like, why do you say that? And he said, well, my daddy says you're the poorest preacher we've ever had. Whew. So nobody say that to me as you're on your way out, right? Like, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So when we're talking about this, I need you to understand, this isn't something that I want from you, the church needs from you, none of that. This is about us really learning some very practical things. We just ended a series called Relation Slips. And the Relation Slips series was a very practical series. We wanted to help you in relationships. And then the next thing with this, talking about bucks, this is the very next practical thing for us to talk about, to learn and grow. Actually, Jesus, all throughout the New Testament and the Gospels, when you read the Gospels, he talked more about money and possessions than he talked about heaven and hell. Did you know that? Like, he knew something about our hearts and humanity, that our attention was going to get drawn to a lot of different things in life. And so often we get distracted by just the things of this world. We get distracted by the flashy things that we want to get and buy with consumerism and all that kind of stuff, that he knew that our hearts would be divided. Actually, there's a scripture that talks about that talks about you can't serve both God and money, right? You're either going to love one and hate the other. You're going to serve one and ignore the other. You can't serve both God and money. And that's why Jesus taught about it. He knew our hearts would be divided so often because of the world we live in. And it really doesn't matter what time or point of history, there's something that can own us, and it's this thing called greed. That greed can take over. And the thing is, greed is such a sneaky little thing that most of us probably don't understand when it's there. We don't see it in ourselves. And it can be small or it can be giant, but it's hard to see it in the mirror. And so we're going to look at the real mirror that reflects God to us and us to us is his word, it's scripture, okay? So this morning, we're going to get in the Bible. If you have your Bibles with you, I say pull them out, right? We're going to be in the book of Matthew, which is the New Testament, the first book of the New Testament, Matthew. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so Matthew. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to be reading a story that Jesus shared, okay? So go ahead and open your Bibles, your apps, whatever you have. If you don't have a Bible, we always say here at New Hope, if you don't have a Bible, we've got free Bibles on the other side of that wall, and you can grab one, take it home, put your name in it, it's yours, or you can download the Bible app. YouVersion is one that a lot of people use. and read along this morning, okay? So we're just hopping right into it, okay? Right into Matthew chapter 25. Jesus, a lot of times when he taught, he taught using stories or parables to help people understand who God was and how the kingdom of heaven works and just practical things in life. And so we're reading right now a parable that Jesus was teaching, and he was teaching on the kingdom of heaven. He was like, this is what kingdom of heaven looks like. And so in this flow of all these parables, he shares this one. And this one might be one that you've heard before, and that's okay. You can hear it again, and we can learn new things every single time we get into God's word. That is talking about this whole idea of money, wealth, stuff, possessions, all that kind of stuff. And so let's just hop into what Jesus has to say in this parable, okay? So if you're with me, say yep. Or maybe I should say yep. All right. Or hee-haw, here we go. All right. In the books. All right, so we're going to start in verse 14 in Matthew 25. This is what he says, Jesus says. He says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Now, let me stop right there just for a minute. A lot of people read different kinds of versions of the Bible and things like that. Some of you may say something different than bags of gold. Some it says talents. And when you read that word talent, if that's the version you're reading, it's not meaning like America's got talent, right? That's not that kind of talent, like a skill or ability. It's actually translated into an amount of money. And it's actually an amount of money that is worth 15 years of wages. That's a lot of money. Right, so if I equate what is being said in Scripture to today, with the average national income, 15 years, it would be each talent would be about $1 million. And so we have this owner, he's a businessman, and he owns a lot of land, owns a lot of stuff, obviously has a lot of money, has a lot of investments, and he's going to go on a trip, and he wants to have his servants take care of him. Now, some of your versions may say the word slave in there, right? He had slaves or servants. It's a similar word. Because in that day and age, that's how the economy worked. There was an owner, a boss, and then there were the slaves that were owned by that boss. And some, it was good and it's healthy and it was more like just regular employment. Some, it was controlling and kind of like manipulative. It just depended right on the owner. But that's the way the culture was in this day and age. Okay? And so anyways, he's saying, these 3 servants work for me. I'm going to entrust them with some things. And so he handed one of the servants $5 million. Who would like that job, right? Like, okay, you know, I'll take that $5 million. But the thing is, he gave it to him and entrusted him with it. Then another, he gave $2 million. And then the third one, he gave 1 bag, which was worth $1 million. And then he went on his journey. He left. He's going to go do business somewhere else. He's going to be gone for quite some time. Okay, it says, the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. Holy smokes. That's awesome, right? If you got $5 million and then you go put it to work and then you get $10 million. Who wants that retirement account? Right? It's like, holy moly, this dude knew what he was doing, right? So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. So he doubled his money. He had $2 million, now he's got $4 million. And then it says this one, though, but the man who had received 1 bag or 1 million went off, he dug a hole in the ground, and he hid it, or he hid his master's money. So he just went up and dug a hole. Okay, he gave me $1 million. I don't know what to do with this. I'm going to go bury it somewhere. Buried treasure somewhere. Nobody's going to know. I'm not drawing a map. I'm the only one that knows where it's at, right? And so that's what he does. He goes away, and he buries the million. Now, we're going to come back to this story in just a few minutes, okay? But I want to stop here to help us understand how this whole parable is connecting the kingdom of heaven and us, okay? In parables, there's usually a character that represents God and who God is, and then there's a character in it that represents us and what we're doing. And so in this parable, the owner, you know, is God. That represents God. God gave these things, you know, to the servants, and then the servants were there to do something with that stuff. Now, something that's interesting in the beginning part of this story, that I wanted to start this message with for us to understand, because it's a concept that I don't think we understand very well. See, each one of them had a different capacity, right? And so the owner saw the different capacity of his three servants, and he gave to each one of them accordingly. He's like, okay, I think I can entrust you with this much. I think I can entrust you with this much, and you this much. They all had three different amounts, right? But the thing is, when we think about capacity, so often we think about like people's jobs, people that have different kinds of jobs that we work with or work around, or just think about our society. You know, somebody might be a laborer somewhere or a construction worker, and somebody else might be an attorney and make a lot more money, and somebody just may work a minimum wage, and somebody works way over a maximum wage, whatever that is, right? And so we actually, what we end up doing when we see people is we put a value on them based upon their capacity, right? They're worth such and such and so and so. I mean, that's what all the financial magazines and stuff are all about. So-and-so is worth so-and-so, so that's their value. But that's not how it works in the kingdom of heaven. See, in the kingdom of heaven, it's different, okay? And you can write this down. In the kingdom of heaven, it's this. It's we all have equal value. Before God, our heavenly Father, we all have equal value. There's no difference. No matter where we're at in society, no matter if we have a lot or we have a little, or we're dirt poor and homeless, or we live in a mansion up on a mountain somewhere. Like, no matter where that spread is, before our Heavenly Father, we are equal in value. Y'all with me? But even though we're equal in value, we still will have different capacity. Different people have different capacity, meaning they have a different skill set. Some have been given gifts and talents and abilities that are like a lot of them, and then when we see people that have a lot of gifts and talents and skills, we say, whoa, and they're able to do a lot with those, and then there's somebody else who's given one gift and one talent, and that's their key thing, and that's what they do, and yet they do it to the best of their ability. They still both have the same value. They just have different capacity, right? And our Heavenly Father knows what our capacity is. Our Heavenly Father, like this master, knows what to give each person to manage over. And so I want us to start with this whole idea. And as we're talking about money, finances, possessions, all that sort of stuff, none of it really matters. Like we think it does. In the eyes of God, it really doesn't matter what you have. It matters more what you do with what capacity God's given you. That's what matters more. We're going to learn that as we read through this parable some more. We all have equal value, but we have different capacity. The reality is we all came into the world with nothing, and we're all going to leave this world with nothing. There's no U-Haul behind the hearse. I keep saying that, right? I heard about this one guy. He had a lot of money, and he actually went and invested in gold bars because he just wanted to store it in his own safe. He didn't trust people. And so he was so wealthy, he had like this entire safe full of gold bars. And he knew he was getting to the end of his life, and he told his wife, he's like, man, when I go, I want to take some of this with me. I mean, I've worked hard to get this gold. And so he put it in his will and everything that when they buried him, that they would have to take at least two gold bars, put it inside of a locked briefcase, and when he gets put in the casket, that briefcase gets put in the casket with him so he can take it with him to the other side. And so they did that. He passes away. His wife's like, this is what he wanted. So there's the briefcase, you know, in his casket, and he's buried in the ground. And so he's dead. And the thing is, though, he knew Jesus, which was awesome. So he entered up into heaven, and he's in front of Jesus, and he's carrying this briefcase. And Jesus is like, what you got there? And he got really excited. He's like, oh, I did so well down there. And he opens up this briefcase, and these two glowing gold bars are just kind of shining out of there. And Jesus looks down at it, and he's like, oh, check this out. Hey, Dad, he brought paving stones. What we think is valuable here is pavement in heaven. Do you understand that? Like, what we have here is temporary. Its value is temporary. Eternity is what matters. And so often we live for the temporary in disregards of what's permanent, eternity, right? And so we can't pretend to live like that. We can't live as if those gold bars matter. The thing is, God entrusted him while he was on this earth with those gold bars to do something with them. But what did he do with them? He stuck them in a safe and then was buried with them. How did that help anybody? Nobody. Thanks for the braving, or the pavement that you brought with you, right? See, when it comes to us thinking about this, first, we all have equal value to God. We came into the world with nothing, we're leaving this world with nothing, and we'll be with Jesus. But we have different capacities, meaning while we're here, God is the one who chooses what each one of us gets. Our talents, our skills, our abilities, even in possessions and wealth or whatever it might be. He's the one that chooses that. So what is our role if that's the way it is? Well, here's our role. We are just stewards of what God gives us. That's it. We're just stewards of what God gives us while we're here. We're borrowing it until we get out of here, you know? And when we leave, it's going to be left to somebody else. And so often when it gets left to somebody else, it becomes somebody else's burden. Because now they have to figure out how to take care of what you have left them, whether that's good or whether that's bad. I've known family members who received like a huge financial inheritance, and the inheritance was so much that they didn't know what to do with it, and actually became a stressful thing in their life, to the point that they like, well, how do we handle this? And I've seen too often people who get money quickly lose money quickly. Do you know how many bankrupt lottery winning millionaires there are? The stats are like, I forget what it is. It's probably like 70 or 80%. It's like, because they didn't know how to steward it before, and now they have a lot. They still don't know how to steward it, and then it disappears, and then they go bankrupt, right? Our job with whatever we have is just to steward it. Now, this word steward isn't a word that we use every day. You don't use that every day or every week, right? It kind of goes back to old English days when during medieval times, you'd have these really, really wealthy people. They might be royalty, they might not. And they just own all these castles and all this like acreage and land. And as they, you know, increased their wealth, they couldn't take care of it all on their own. And so they would have to bring on staff and, you know, have all the servants around the castle. And so managing all that, they said, we need to bring somebody else in the castle. And they would bring in somebody that had the position of steward. They were the steward of the castle. And their job was for the owner, you know, to take care of all the workers, to take care of all the land and the property and the building itself, and make sure all the livestock and the wild animals are hunted appropriately, and just making sure everything was taken care of on that land. But that steward never owned it. They just took care of it for the owner. That's this picture of what God's done for us. He's the king. He has the castle. He has the mansions, actually, and he's building them for us in heaven. And so that's a different place. And as he's building it, he says, now, this is your temporary tent that you're living in. Can you just steward this for me while you're there? Can you handle taking care of what I'm giving to you? And too often, people treat it as if it were a frat house. Imagine this. Imagine you decided you're going to go on a trip, and you're going to be gone for a few weeks, and you didn't want your house sitting empty, and so you just, you know, had a friend said, hey, would you mind come over and house sitting for us? Just make sure things are safe, make sure, you know, that the pipes don't freeze, and make sure, you know, everything stays on and that nobody breaks in. Can you come and just watch the house and just stay there for us for a couple of weeks? And you trusted them. I mean, you're like, you're giving them responsibility of all your stuff, right? And you decide, you know, you've been gone long enough, and you come home 2 days early. And when you come back to your house, you open the door, and then when you open it, there's a smell that you did not recognize. And when you go into the living room, all of a sudden you see all these red cups all over the floor for some reason, and there's like a splatter of something, you don't even know what color that is, up on the wall. And when you go in the kitchen, there's just food just turning green all over your kitchen counters, and no dishes have been done for a week and a half. Would you be a little mad? Would you be like, you stayed in our house and you just ruined it? You got to be kidding me, right? Like anger and frustration and disappointment, and now that relationship's going to look different, isn't it? I'm not trusting you, you know, with my weed whacker ever again. You know, I'm not trusting you with anything I got because you just completely broke my trust. It's the same way with our Heavenly Father. He entrusts us with everything we have. He entrusts us with relationships. He entrusts us with finances and money. He entrusts us with possessions. He entrusts us with families. He entrusts us with all of these things. And the question is, are you stewarding it well? Are you managing it in the way that the Heavenly Father says, man, that's awesome. We're going to keep reading the story in just a minute, but I want us to understand and feel this. See, from the very beginning of time, we understand that God's character and what he's done to us and for us, okay? Because right at the very beginning, we know in the book of Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke everything into existence, all the animals, you know, the water, the fish, and the birds in the air, and the sky, and the day, and the night, and then he made Adam, and then he made Eve. And when he spoke about Adam and Eve, his relationship with them was different than the rest of all creation, right? He wanted relationship with Adam and Eve. And we see in the Garden of Eden, it was perfect. I wish they wouldn't have messed it up, but it was perfect, right? And they had everything they needed. Actually, this is what it says in Genesis chapter 2 about what God did. It says, the Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden. Now, who made the garden? God. Okay, good. That was a Sunday school answer, right? So that one was safe. You guys know that one, right? So God was the answer to that one, right? God made the Garden of Eden, and then he put man into it to do what? To work it and take care of it. God said, here, Adam, I made this all for you. I want you to enjoy it, and I'm going to put you in this garden, and I want you to work it, and I want you to take care of it. I want you to steward it. Right from the very beginning, we see God giving us stewarding responsibility to take care of what he has made and created, right? Now, later on, you know, we see in here that God is a provider. Later on, we get into Exodus, the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy, and you see by then the Israelites have grown in numbers. You know, there's like millions of them. They're living in Egypt, and they're enslaved in Egypt, and God sends Moses. He sets them free, and they go out in the desert, right? So they went from Egypt, where they understood it, they knew the culture, they had food, they had everything they needed, even though they were slaves in that nation, which conditions weren't great because of that. But at least they weren't hungry. Now they're in the desert, and they're hungry. They're like, the food back in Egypt was better than this. We don't have anything. We're going to starve to death. And God was teaching them something. He was teaching them about how they can relate and trust him, relate to him and trust him to take care of them. As they're grumbling, God makes a promise. He says, I'm going to send you manna from heaven. I'm going to send you food every day. And so I don't know if you've heard about manna falling from heaven, right? That the Israelites each day, God would send just food. Like it would just fall out of the sky, and they would pick up what they needed for that day, and they would eat it. And God said, now don't store it, because if you store it, it's going to be bad. And some of them said, well, just in case he doesn't send it tomorrow, I'm going to take some and put it in a jar. And by the next day, it turned into like maggots all over it, and it was spoiled. You couldn't eat it. And God was teaching his people. He's like, guys, I'm here. I'm your God. I set you free. I pulled you out of the land of Egypt. My mighty hand is with you. I'm going to provide for you what you need today. And he was teaching them each day, I'm enough for today. I'll provide for you today. And now the thing is, he was leading them towards the promised land. Now the promised land was different than the desert. It took them a long trip to get there because of their own sin nature. That happens to all of us. Our own sin nature makes us a longer trip with God than it should be at times, right? And so they finally get into the promised land, and God knows what he's done for them and has provided for them, has shown them favor, and yet he knows that the moment they go into the land that's good, it's wealth, they're going to experience fruit and prosperity and grains, and the land is going to provide everything that they need. He knew when they moved into that land, their hearts are going to start to wander because now they're settled in what they're doing and not fully, daily waiting on the Lord. And so he tells them something. He warns them with this heart check. It says this in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. He said, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. He's warning them. He's like, this is what you're going to say. You're going to get in the land and be like, well, look what I did now. And look at this awesome, you know, stuff. He says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. He's reminding them. He's like, yeah, you may be working hard, and you should. We should all work. Like, we should all work hard, right? You may be, but you need to understand, even when I provided daily for you, now you have an abundance. It is me, the Lord your God, who's provided you with the ability to even do that. He's saying, everything I have given you is mine, and I'm glad to let you steward it. Okay, is everybody with me? Okay, and we see this pattern all throughout Scripture. We're going to keep walking through this through the whole series, but it starts here. This is the foundation of us talking about how to deal with bucks, right? How to handle this according to what God wants. We are just stewards of what God gives us, okay? Now let's jump back into the passage of Matthew, into the story. So we have these three servants, and the first one had 5 million. He doubled it. He's got 10 million now. 10 million. I mean, if I was the owner at that point, I'd be like, thanks, man. That's awesome, you know? And then the second guy, he had two, and he got two more. He had 4 million. So we're up to $14 million. That's a lot of money. So after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. I'd feel pretty good if I was at that servant right then, right? Like, here you go. I've invested it wisely. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. We learn the heart of the master right there. The heart of the master is happy. Now, here's the thing. Well, let me keep reading, and then I'll get to it. How about the thing? I'll put a pin in the thing, all right? Because then we have the second guy, the man with 2 bags of gold, also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold, and I have gained 2 more. His master replied, the exact same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Now, here's what I want us to understand before we get to the last one. Both of those amounts were very different amounts of money, weren't they? 10 million and 4 million. I mean, those of us in the room be like, there's millions behind there. They're both big, yes. But 10 is way bigger than 4. And either way, we see that the master was happy. He said, come share in the happiness with me. Because the happiness wasn't about the amount or the capacity. The happiness was in the fruit of the heart of the servant. They invested, they stewarded what the master had given them. And then at the end, the amounts didn't matter. He said, awesome, well done. Now come join my happiness. He's like, now let's enjoy this together. Like you were taking care of it. Now I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm saying, you enjoy it with me. Let's go enjoy this and share in this happiness together. That's what the Heavenly Father does. Whenever we walk in obedience to his word, whenever we step out of our fear and move into faith and we walk into his promises, when we start stepping towards him and he sees us, no matter what our capacity is, he sees us start moving that way. He says, awesome, I gave you that. I entrusted you with that and you're doing something with it. Now let's share this happiness together because I'm happy. Now you're going to be happy. Let's walk in happiness together. This is unity that happens in the happiness and joy of God when we walk and use what he's given us well, okay? We're stewards of it. Again, different capacities, but equal value. He's looking at the heart. Now look at number 3. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. And so I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. It's the third guy. He's just glad he hasn't lost anything, right? I mean, like the third guy, he was given 1 million. I mean, if you were given 1 million, I'm just wondering, are there some things you're thinking in your head? I could get that thing I was wanting to get. You know what I'm talking about? Like there might be that thing. It's like he could have taken that 1 million, buried some of it, and been like, I'm going to go get that Ferrari horse buggy, right? Like they didn't have cars. I don't know if Ferrari was light back then, right? But like, am I going to go get this thing, or am I going to go, you know, pay for something for my family, or am I going to, like, he didn't steal any of it. He just buried it. He just buried it all, right? And so now he's bringing what he was given back. And the master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags." Some of you, that last verse, you're like, that sounds like America, right? Like it's the richer get richer and the poorer get poorer. That's not the point of the passage, okay? So don't take that out of context and be like, see, we're cursed. It's not. He's looking at the heart. We're looking at the heart here, right? The amount doesn't matter. He's looking at the heart of this man, because this man who came back, he said he buried it because he was afraid. In his life, he was driven by fear. Right? When you are driven in your life by fear, you will not be a very good steward of God's blessings, because you will gather them and hold on to them. You won't give them and be generous. You're going to hold on to them to the best that you can. And if fear drives you when it comes to possessions and money resources, you're going to hold on to them very tightly. You're going to become a pretty stingy person. It's like when something costs an extra 10 cents, it's like, we're not buying that. Sorry. You can't have the medium fry, get the small, right? Or whatever it might be. You just, you know, like, whenever you can try to control that stuff, you're missing the point, because you're living in fear. You're letting fear control you. We have a God who owns everything, and he's your heavenly Father. And when we are stingy, and I'm not talking just about money, whenever we have a heart of fear, when God calls us to do anything, we do not get to walk in the happiness of our Father. When he tells us to do something and we walk into it in obedience is when we start to share in the happiness of our Heavenly Father. It's not a value thing. He values you either way. He loves you either way. But it's a happiness thing where he smiles on you and you get to smile in his presence and you get to walk into his promise and blessing. Right? He said, because listen to the heart thing, he said, you should have at least put my money on deposit with the bankers. I could have earned some interest. So what the owner was saying, even if you just did the bare minimums, I would have been okay with that, because it meant you did something. You stewarded it in some direction. Your capacity would have been shown as something rather than nothing. And so when we see our Heavenly Father who loves us, who provides us every single thing that we need to understand something. If he's given us it all, if he is the owner, we are the stewards, there will come a day when what you have said, what you have done, what you have spent and bought and managed will come into account. That day will come. Because just as this owner came back, the owner's coming back. Jesus is coming back. And there will come a time where all of us will be in front of our Heavenly Father. And just so you know, there is a book with your name on it that has everything in it. The good thing is, in Christ, it's forgiven. But when it comes to stewarding, it still takes account. Okay? So we need to walk around with this understanding that you will give an account for how you've used what God has given you. You will give an account someday. And I want to be the one, or one of the many, that when my Heavenly Father sees me, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with what I've handed you." That doesn't mean perfect, you know? That doesn't mean perfection. Sometimes I've earned the minimal interest on what he's given me, right? So some days it's been like, I don't know how much I can, I've done this. This is what I have right now, and this is what I could do. And he says, "Good and faithful servant." And other days it's maybe like, wow, just the fruit of what's happening right now in my life, and just me walking in obedience, it's like the 10 million, right? And he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The capacity doesn't matter. Y'all with me? He's looking at our hearts. Who owns our heart? God or money? Our Heavenly Father, because this is what stewardship is. Stewardship, and we're thinking about God as the owner, stewardship is about us protecting and expanding the kingdom of God. That's biblical stewardship. What I have, I'm using to protect and expand God's kingdom. Every day, whatever that looks like. Because I want the king to be honored. And I want other people to know this king that has loved and accepted me, right? We live with eternity in mind. That's when we become biblical stewards. Now I just want to share briefly, because the reason I preach on this and the reason we go through these things is because God has had to prune greed out of my heart. It's been out of my heart for years and years and years and years and years. When Nikki and I were first married, how long have we been married? 25, 4, 3, 2, 20-something years. We love each other. It's okay. When we were first married, though, I was young. I was 19. I mean, I was this young kid. I was just this young kid, and we're married, and we're just trying to, you know, trying to survive. But I had this expectation that I was always going to have what my parents always had. And like young couples, when they see their parents and they expect I should have that, they will make decisions financially to get it way before they ever can afford it. Or they look at the Joneses that live around them and they say, well, we're about the same place. Maybe we should have that kind of car. Maybe we should go lease this or go that and get the, you know, the rental plan and the payment plan and the zero down on the furniture. So when we invite the Joneses over, they can say, wow, this is nice furniture. Thank you. We're paying for it for 5 years. You know, you know what I'm saying? Like we try to do these things. And for me, like that's the way I was operating. I always wanted something else. Meaning like whatever I had, there was always something more. And it didn't matter what I had. That's greed. That's what greed does. It pushes against contentment, and it creates a discontentment continually for the next whatever it is. And that's how greed sneaks into our lives. And welcome to the United States of America, the most consumeristic culture that's ever existed on the planet, where we are thrown at our faces continually, be discontent, be discontent, be discontent. And yet, that's the opposite of what Scripture tells us. Greed, when greed owns us, it'll take us to places that God never intended us to go. And what it shows is a heart that is choosing to bow down to stuff rather than bow down to God, who is my provider. God had to prune that out of me, and that was hard. That was hard. We lived in Metro Atlanta, Georgia for about 5 years, and I call it the Deep Valley because that was the season that Tim went to the School of Hard Knocks. And God had to prune a lot of stuff out of me, and that was one of them. And I remember when God started getting my attention, because that season I had a job, I didn't have a job, I had a job, I didn't have a job. I mean, we were all over the charts financially and all sorts of stuff in life, and it was stressful. And we had two babies, you know, were born while we're in that season of just hardship of, you know, are the electricity going to stay on? Are we going to get kicked out of our house? Or can we get caught up on our mortgage? I mean, it was just all the time, just stress. And we were a part of a church down there, an awesome, awesome church. And they were having this class about finances. And at this point, I'm pretty sure I wasn't the one that signed up. It was more like Nikki saying, we're going to this class. And so we joined this class through Crown Financial Ministries. And in this class, it was probably one of the most, you know, difficult classes to be a part of for me, because two things. One, you had to read a lot, and I don't read that great. I have dyslexia, and when I read, I get a headache. Like, I just don't like reading. That's why I do audiobooks and podcasts. I'm a learner. I'm just not a reader. And so we had to read, and we had to memorize scriptures. Does anybody love memorizing scripture? Anybody do that? It's a discipline to memorize scripture. Like God says, we should do that. We should memorize it. We should hide it in our hearts. And I had to learn how to do that. But in that season, I'm like, oh, this is hard. Because if you showed up to class and you didn't have it memorized, you had to leave class. Like it was legit. I'm like, okay. And so we had to memorize these passages. And these passages, as I memorized them, God was changing my heart. And the thing that started it all was the realization, I own nothing. And I never will. God is the owner of everything and the giver and the provider. and everything from then on my hands became open to. Now, we were in a pit of debt. And we were like financially broke. We were way behind on our mortgage. We had a pit to get out of. And I'm so grateful for Ray. He was a retired older gentleman that taught that class, and he chose to meet with us and to mentor, well, more mentor me, to help us get out of that. And it all started with me doing a claim of ownership transfer. I transfer all ownership from what I think is Tim Broughton's to my Heavenly Father, God. And it's his. Now, my prayer is that you all don't have to learn it the way I learned it. That's why I want to teach it, so you don't have to go down the holes and the pits and the hard times that God had to take me through to learn that. And so when I truly say I want something for you, I want something for you. So many people live as a slave to the money. And God wants to break the slavery to bring you freedom in his kingdom and to be a steward of what he's given you so you can rejoice in the happiness of your Father and use it well and invest in the things that matter. Okay? Is everybody with me? Okay. And so, God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this word. And I pray, God, whatever you're working in each of our hearts, whatever you're stirring up and whatever we need to learn and grow from, that Holy Spirit, you will just invade our hearts and our thoughts, that we would allow you to speak very clearly into our lives. God, if there's something that needs pruned out or taken out of us that leads us away from you, that you would just right now just do it. Just do it. So lead us in this time of response, God, and say what you want to say. We're just going to take a minute and take a minute to respond. I'm going to ask you a few questions, like I do every Sunday, just so you can process, you know, where you're at. We need to understand first that how you spend your money and use your stuff is a spiritual decision. It is. So when you are looking in your own life, your own heart, with this stuff, is there greed in there? Is there a discontentment that you always want something new or something next, or you're holding on to your stuff? Or is there gratitude? Is there gratitude in your heart for what God gives you? Do you truly trust God as your provider? Or do you trust your job or your retirement or the government? Like, who do you actually trust to be your provider? Because ultimately, it's God. And when you think about these servants in this parable, which servant are you? Are you driven by fear? Do you hold on to things too tightly? Or do you let the enemy spark fear in your thought life all the time and prevent you from walking into God's word or obedience or to the good things? Like, is fear your stronghold? I would say give it to God. Whatever that fear is, like, name it and give it to God. And I say that often. When you name something, it starts to lose its power. When you name that thing you're afraid of or that fear that's in your heart, when you name it, now you can speak it out to God and he can start taking it from you. So wherever you're at in all of this, my prayer is that you'll be free. That you'll be free. God, thank you for this time. And we just pray that as we continue in this series, we learn about bucks, as we learn about this stuff, that we would be ready to learn. And that we would this week start seeing our stuff and our things and our relationships differently, that we would see them through the lens of your kingdom, understanding that we are just steward to protect and expand your kingdom with what you've given us, and that's relationships and money and possessions and stuff, our gifts, our talents, all that, that we'd be willing to hand those things to you this week. We just thank you in Christ's name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Amen.